When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
Home Club for details.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets. Always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Parliament Health Committee intervenes to avert collapse of National Health Insurance Scheme following revelations that the Finance Ministry owes the scheme more than 2 billion cedis.
As of now, government owes from July 2023 to February, that's about 2.4 billion. And then they have also made releases of almost about 700 million.
We have the latest also tonight. Education Ministry fights off claims of paying 56 million cedis to internet service providers who failed to deliver internet to schools across the country. We have details as the ministry serves notice it will be terminating the contract of service providers failing to deliver internet to schools.
The claim of misuse of money or payment for no services that is not accurate. And even beyond that, the ministry, upon evaluation, is considering terminating aspects of the contract in schools that are experiencing satellite connectivity challenges.
More on the Fourth Estate investigations highlighting how many schools under the government's Wi-Fi for Schools program had gone months and in some cases years without internet connectivity. Also tonight, MPP flag bearer Dr. Mahmood Bawumia breaks silence on stalled, controversial National Cathedral project.
The question on the National Cathedral is a very important one. The National Cathedral, I have contributed to its construction personally. I believe it's a very important thing for Ghana.
We have details of the story, plus take you live for updates as Dr. Bawumia begins his tour of the Greater Accra region today in business.
Some oil marketing companies commence increase in prices of petroleum products at the pumps.
And it's for Sunyani Bay's young apostles, Trans over Techiman Heroes in Zone 1 playoff to join Holy Stars and VFC in qualifying for next season's Ghana Premier League.
You want to stay with us for the details of all that and more here on Newsnight? Send me a WhatsApp 055-111-1997. My name is Evans Mensah. And later, we'll take you to the streets of Ashaiman for our latest episode in our filth exhibition series.
We all worried about the rubbish issue. Some residents give their rubbish to these junkies and they in turn dispose of them on the street.
Well, first of all, the Health Committee in Parliament has made an urgent intervention to avert the collapse of the National Health Insurance Scheme following revelations that the Ministry of Finance owes the scheme more than 2 billion cedis. Now, the amount are arrears contributions the Finance Ministry has failed to release to the National Health Insurance Scheme from July 2023 to February 2024. The committee today met the Ministry of Finance, the Ministry of Health, the National Health Insurance Scheme itself, and the Controller and Accountant General's Department in Parliament to resolve issues resulting in the delay in payments. Now, listen to the chairman of the committee, Dr. Freya Yu, on what they have found out from the ministry's interactions today.
As of now, government owes from July 2023 to February, that's about 2.4 billion. And then they have also made releases of almost about 700 million. So we are clear in our mind that if these releases and the strategy they've put forward progresses, it's most likely they will clear off these arrears. You know, arrears has been an issue in the social health finances space for a long period of time. But this committee, well, we work together and it doesn't matter where the minority raise it or not. I mean, arrears is arrears. And we are not going to take advantage of whether it was in the previous. No, that is why we are oversight members. We are here to make correct the wrongs as we see it. So the minority has raised it. It's become an issue of the committee. We've brought them together. And the roadmap is looking very good for us. So we are satisfied about this. And that is, I feel, if this goes on, then I feel satisfied that this is going to be more of a precedent and a good progress.
My colleague James Savaji was in Parliament for us and joins me right now in the studio. James, why was this meeting called?
So the minority in the past few days, led by Honorable Minta Akando, has been raising alarm about the fact that the National Health Insurance Scheme is going what he called bankrupt, because from their independent check, he says the scheme has some 1 million Ghana cedis in their account with the Bank of Ghana, and the need for government to fund the National Health Insurance Scheme. And then their investigation indicated that the Ministry of Finance, actually, after collecting the health insurance monies, levies from the various ministries, tax and all of that, fails to remit the monies to the National Health Insurance Scheme. And so the meeting was to fashion out, one, get to know why the ministry is hesitant in doing this, and two, get to get a roadmap on how they can get the money to the health insurance scheme.
Okay, so the minority had raised these issues, and you spoke to the minority spokesperson on health.
Yes, I spoke with Honorable Minta Akando on first whether some arrangements have been made between them, what their findings was, and whether the ministry is able to pay the monies. And he indicates that they have not been able to get them to give them proper timeline on when the money will be paid, but some level of agreement has been reached.
There is no justification to this delay. There's actually no justification, because the law is clear on how this national health insurance release must be made. And that if you check the National Health Insurance Act, section 52.1 and 52.2, that once the collections are made, the money must be paid directly into the National Health Insurance Fund within 30 days. And every 6 months, the minister responsible for finance should come to the floor of the house to come and account for the payment. And so they had no justification to breach these particular provisions in the National Health Insurance.
No justification, but have they given any reason why they couldn't do so according to the law?
Well, they simply have no reason. And so what we are doing at the moment is to have a roadmap for them to follow, so that we will not have these huge arrears, going forward. And so we are drawing the roadmap. We couldn't conclude today. And so we have another meeting to be able to conclude on the roadmap so that they will follow the roadmap so that we'll not have these huge arrears.
So there was no clarity, was there, as to when exactly these arrears will be paid?
Exactly. There was no clarity. But if you listen earlier to the chairman, he says that they've raised some certificate to pay some 700 million Ghana cedis out of the 2.4. But the sad thing is that there's the fear that this could continue because that arrears is, they are calculating now, is up to February this year, which means that from March to June this month is also standing in arrears. And so those are the things that the roadmap should be able to take care of, Evans.
Now, the National Health Insurance Scheme itself, they had representation there,
exactly,
including the CEO himself was present,
exactly,
right? And we know that yesterday we've been reporting that they have introduced a significant policy shift which will see kidney patients receive free dialysis treatment, those below the age of 18 and those above 60. And the question is about how do you sustain this? You put that to him.
Exactly. Now, his trust is in the government. I ask him, they have made some commitment of 2.4 million Ghana cedis in addition to the 2 million, which is 4.4, whether he is positive that they can't be able to be making this support through the administrative financing. He is not very comfortable, confident about that, but he believes that since this is something government has supported, they are hopeful that government will be able to support this over time so that even beyond December, we can be able to give financing to this. Another question I put to him was about, remember when this issue came up, some patients have been calling that between June 1 and 4th, they have paid some monies when they went for dialysis treatment. He is assuring that they would be able to refund those monies and asking the patient to go back to the hospital, get their names and ask for a refund because they have put measures in place to get the monies back to them.
Well, the CEO of the National Health Insurance Scheme is going to be my guest on PM Express tonight. We're going to be going a bit more into that, especially for kidney patients who want a bit more clarity on how this will affect their lives and what this will mean for them. Now the government is taking on the burden of paying for their dialysis treatment. The minority though has something to say about this. Are they welcoming this?
They have welcomed this, but they have some reservation. For instance, the announcement before the health insurance release was made by the vice president in the central region as part of his tour. They think that the vice president and central government are trying to take some shine on this. They said when the health insurance scheme came to parliament, the allocations that were in there doesn't have anything to provision for dialysis. Meanwhile, that was the main issue in the media, in the public domain at the time. And so it was they on the minority who pushed that this be captured in their budget allocation. And so they don't think why the vice president should go ahead to take credit for this.
But I saw a clear deception, typical of him, in there for the populism and the political advantage he wants to actually take.
Is this not the case that government has actually taken?
Okay, so the truth of the matter is that when the National Health Insurance Authority brought the National Health Insurance Formula for 2024, absolutely nothing was said about the cost of dialysis in the formula at the committee level. We all insisted that something must be allocated to the cost of dialysis. So we made it a condition to approving the formula. So we pushed it and pushed it on the floor of the House, and about 2 million Ghana cedis was referenced for that particular purpose. And I state that the Vice President had absolutely no idea about this. And so that is what the committee did, and it was, part of the formula.
And if you're just joining us tonight, following a parliamentary health committee meeting today, it has emerged that the finance ministry owes the National Health Insurance Scheme more than 2 billion cedis. And the committee now has made an intervention directing the finance ministry to find the money and pay that arrears that they are owed immediately to avert a collapse. I want to bring in Dr. Samuel Kodonko. He's the president of the Pharmaceutical Society of Ghana. Joins us on the line right now. Doctor, thank you for your time here on Newsnight.
Thank you, and good evening to you and your listeners.
When you hear that the finance ministry owes the National Health Insurance Scheme more than 2 billion cedis, What are your reflections on that? Because it's always been an issue, has it not, that your association have complained in the past about delayed payments when it comes to claims to you. Does this offer some illumination on why there have been delays in the past?
Thank you. Like you rightly said, this has been a thorny issue for us as an association. I remember sometime years back, we actually even organized a press conference on this and engaged the media. Our position has always been, and it would always remain, that the reason for setting up the National Health Insurance Fund is that citizens will be able to pay taxes or levies in order to be able to build a very robust and a sustainable national health insurance scheme. And therefore, it is our expectation that when the funds are collected, all these funds are made available to the National Health Insurance Authority in order for it to be able to execute its mandate or carry out its functions. The current situations where we have been informed or we are reliably informed that there is a capping which the current parliament actually passed a law or a law to that extent that there's a cap and not all the funds should be released to National Health Insurance Authority. Certain percentage should be retained in the consolidated funds. And that brings in a bit of discretion or it limits the National Health Insurance from receiving all the taxes or levies that the citizens of this country pay. And that is really something that needs to be addressed.
Are you still owed as we speak?
Yes, of course. We know that the National Health Insurance Authority has paid up to November, claims submitted November. For some institutions, we will say December. So that means definitely the National Health Insurance is indebted to the hospitals, to the community pharmacies. And by virtue of that, we can also say or can infer that they are also indebted to the wholesalers, importers, and manufacturers because it's a whole supply chain issue. Manufacturers and wholesalers will supply the hospital, the community pharmacies, who in turn will pass on the products to patients. And based on that, then claims are submitted. So, of course, we know that they are owed. And that's why I just told you that the last payments made should be November for most of them, and for some selected, few December. So this is where we have the arrears.
So at least you're owed 6 months.
But you see, what happens is that because there's always 2 to 3 months processing, if you go to National Health Insurance, technically speaking, they will tell you that they are indebted to them for about 2 to 3 months. It's not 6 months because they have 2 to 3 months window period by which they use to do the processing. They need to audit it. They need to validate it and all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
That before they make payments. So November is what, if it's been paid, they should be having December on their, they should have December, they should also have January and possibly have February. So the arrears will be up to that point. The rest, we cannot call them arrears because they are going through that 2 to 3 month processing phase.
Have you received any assurances from the National Health Insurance Scheme that you'll be paid and when?
It's just coincidental for me to receive a call today. Just today, the Pharmaceutical Society of Ghana, the executives, paid a working call to the new chief executive officer of the National Health Insurance and the executives of the National Health Insurance Authority. And we had very, very good deliberations. And they've given the assurance that they will do all they can to ensure that they clear all the arrears. We just had a meeting today with them this afternoon, and it was one of the issues that we discussed. So we've been given the assurance that these payments will be made as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you very much.
But the question is that the National Health Insurance would have the willingness to pay, but would they have the funds? And that is where the Ministry of Finance will come in. We all have to ensure that when the funds get to the Ministry of Finance, they are released timeously in order for the National Health Insurance also to make available to its clients.
And indeed, that's a big question. And there is Dr. Samuel Kor-Donkor. He's the president of the Pharmaceutical Society of Ghana. Joining me right now also is a ranking member on the Health Committee in Parliament, Mitad Kando. Mr. Kando, thanks for your time here on Newsnight. You met with the Finance Ministry officials today. What assurances did you get as it relates to this 2 billion cedi debt that they've accrued, that they owe to the National Health Insurance Scheme?
Evans, let me make a few clarifications. As of last week or two, when we made the minority members on the Health Committee release a press release, the amount that was left to the National Health Insurance Fund was around 1 million. Subsequently, some releases have been made. Now, the releases that were made before today's meeting took care of May, June, and part of July last year, 2023. And so from July 2023 to February 2024, the arrears is around 2.4 billion. So the 700 Chairman was talking about was not from the 2.4 billion Ghana cedis. Now, the next issue is that the 2.4 billion, which spans from the July last year to February, this year, we then have from February to May this year that we have even not spoken about. And so that is the indebtedness of the ministry to the authority.
And what assurances did you get today from the ministry?
Now, we have all agreed that there needs to be a roadmap for all of us to follow for the payment to be made, because the allocation for this year is around 6.8 billion, excluding the arrears. And so we will have to get back again and then firm up the roadmap. So at least we had a very good conversation with all the stakeholders. It was a good start, but we have not concluded yet.
Did you get any firm words on timelines?
We pushed for timelines, but we were impressed upon by the stakeholders to go and look at their figures again and then get back to us for their timelines. There was a particular plan which the controller made it clear to the committee that it was going to be very difficult for the controller to go according to that plan. And therefore, we should give him the opportunity to go back to consult the Minister for Finance and other people to be able to give us a clear timeline within which we'll be able to clear the arrears.
Okay, thank you very much, Mita Kando. As a ranking member on the health committee, I want to hear from you. You've been to the hospitals and to a pharmacy. Are you still using the National Health Insurance Scheme? And what has been your experience? 055-11-11997. Now, the Education Ministry is tonight challenging claims it paid over 56 million cedis to internet service providers for undelivered school internet under the government's Wi-Fi for Schools program. It comes on the heels of a fourth estate investigation revealing how many schools under the flagship program had gone months, in some cases years, without internet connectivity. In a spirit of defense, the ministry says they only pay for the accessible dedicated internet and not necessarily the total capped monthly cost. We'll bring you details of a statement issued by the ministry shortly. But first, let's take a listen to the spokesperson for the ministry, Kwesi Kwati.
Even there also the validation committee that also vet all invoices before payment is made. So, for instance, if you look at somewhere 2024 February, despite an invoice of around 6.4 million that was submitted by the company, the ministry ended up paying 3.6 million. So, the claim of misuse of money or payment for no services done is not accurate. And even beyond that, the ministry, upon evaluation, is considering terminating aspects of the contract in schools that are experiencing satellite connectivity challenges. Of course, we are going to update guidance accordingly with regards to that. But for emphasis sake, it is not true or it is not factual that the ministry has paid money to any company for no work done. What is true is that the contract provides for charging or payment in prorated basis, which means that the ministry only pays for services that has been rendered. And the effect is also that any downtime up to and exceeding half of a particular month will not be paid. And this essentially means that despite the approved amount of recurring expenditure, the ministry does not even pay a person if the services does not reach the 50% threshold in a particular month.
Let me bring in right now the executive director of the Africa Education Watch. Kofi Asare joins us on the line. And of course, he's been monitoring how the schools have been performing. And I'm pretty sure this is one of the areas that they may have picked up on. He joins us with some perspective on this. And Kofi, what have you observed across the country when it comes to this particular policy? We spoke about this years ago when government first hinted they will be implementing this. Has it been functioning the way it was originally intentioned?
Good evening, everyone, and good evening to your church audience. In July last year, we commissioned a study covering 100 schools. It was actually a randomized sample study to ascertain the quality of internet being served under the program. Our study revealed that in 78% of the schools sampled, the internet service was down. It was up in 22% of the schools. Now, within this 78% of senior high schools without internet, then about 55% of those schools have been down for 1 year. You know, and then another 35% or so of the remaining have been down for 2 years. And so, we realized that it was a bigger problem than we imagined, and that in the majority of the schools, internet was not available. So, taking notice of the fact that the contract had arrangements where the service provider was entitled to regular payments, monthly payments for internet service, we were concerned. And so, what we did was to advise the Ministry of Education accordingly, and then request that the necessary checks, accountability mechanism, be fused into the contract before making payment, because majority of the Wi-Fi sampled were down. We went ahead and petitioned the Auditor General, calling for a special audit to be instituted into the entire program, because we thought that the value for money was very low. As a result of that, the Auditor General commissioned a special audit into the free Wi-Fi program. And I'm told that they finished their work on the field about 2 months ago, and any time from now, the report should be out. And so this particular publication by the fourth estate findings. I mean, situate well within what we found in senior high schools in July of 2023.
In the ministry statement, though, they say they don't just pay for the capped monthly cost; they pay for accessibility. So, if the internet actually works, they pay. Is that your understanding of how this contract works?
Well, if the ministry is saying that they only pay for running internet and that whatever the internet is down, they don't pay, then we will need information from the schools. That's the only way we can verify. That can be verified if, after talking to the schools, we will appreciate that every month prior to the validation of their invoices, whether or not internet is provided at the right quality is ascertained or obtained from the schools. I didn't get the impression from the schools that there were any such challenges. In fact, the schools we spoke to, they told us that 81% of the schools said that, oh yes, we have reported to the contractor. Okay, that was 81% of the schools. That's all they said. When we asked whether there were any mechanisms that ensured regular, you know, verification of the quality of service delivery before payment, we didn't get any feedback like that. So maybe it wasn't the schools, you know, providing that feedback, or maybe the ministry had other ways of verifying. But it would be useful for the ministry to put out that information. In terms of, for example, this is how much we pay, this is how much we pay. But we can reconcile that with the data we also have on the downtime. That's the only way we can speak to that. But reviewing the contract, we did not see adequate accountability mechanisms within the contract, because such contracts are normally centralized. This is a centralized contract, you know, signed with a company, same resource in Accra, to provide the necessaries to all schools across the country. We've seen similar issues in the past. In 2013 or so, the GES did a similar one, with Vodafone providing the internet to about 300 or so senior high schools. It didn't last beyond 3 months. It was USAID that supported a particular one. And so we had always advised that In procuring contracts of service of such nature, the best way is to give the school the mandate, you know, to engage their ISPs and then pay them. And then the Ministry of Education or the GES supervises the schools. But when you have a centralized thing like that, it becomes very difficult to monitor quality, service delivery, and ensure value for money.
Well, thank you very much. And that there's Kofi Asare with the Africa Education Watch. I want to stay with the Education Ministry a while longer, because the Education Minister has announced timelines for the rollout of the free tablets for senior high schools policy. And he says it will start in the next 2 weeks from the Opoku-Wari School in Kumasi. Well, he's been there and he's been talking to our correspondent, Nanaya Ojima, who's filed this report.
The government in rolling out the Smart School Project under the Free Senior High School Policy is targeting distribution of 1.3 million tablets to learners. According to the Ministry of Education, the tablets will have 4-inch screen, 4 gigabytes of RAM, and a battery that lasts for 7 to 8 hours. It will come along with a solar-based battery pack. It is water-resistant and would have a quad-core 2 processor. In the first phase of implementation, the chosen school will be equipped with 10 smart boards, aside from other resources to facilitate the program implementation.
What this also means is that within the next 2 weeks, we're going to improve internet connectivity at your school. In order to make sure, you see, when we say a smart school, it has to come with a whole lot of things. So we're also looking at our solar panels on your classroom buildings, and make sure that at least one period a day, every one of you will experience a smart learning environment, and in addition to using your tablets in all your other classes. So we'll begin with the phase one. Not everything may be online.
To facilitate the digitalized learning environment, Ghana Knowledge and Skills Bank is already created for the digitalization of textbooks. For Joy News, Nanaya Ojima, Kumasi.
And you're also live here on Newsnight. It's on Joy 99.7 FM. And I want to share a few of your messages with you on our WhatsApp console now on the stories we've done so far. And this one from Nanae Kwama Boateng says, did I hear NDC minority right that we should give credit to them for the free dialysis care for the patients below 18 years and above 60 years? They are not serious at all. Ghanaians giving credit to Dr. Bawumia in his order, because when the kidney patients were crying, the cries on the present government and once the government has listened to their cry, the NDC should simply, he says, keep quiet on the subject. Also, a view there on the story we'll bring you later on the STC that is also brewing. And also the NHIS, he has this from Tanimu in Boku says, it's sad those who claim the better managers of the economy have rather collapsed it. Government owing the NHIS over 2 billion CDs, he points out there. And the final one says, and this from Keta Philip says, Bamia organized lectures for the community members, promised free dialysis for the people. My question is, how will Bamia finance the dialysis treatment? You want to join us on PM Express later tonight? We'll get some clarity on that and more when we speak to the CEO of the National Health Insurance Authority. Later on after business, we'll take you into the election headquarters where the MPP flag bearer, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, has been breaking his silence on the stalled and controversial National Cathedral project.
The question on the National Cathedral is a very important one. The National Cathedral, I have contributed to its construction personally. I believe it's a very important thing for Ghana.
We have details of this story, plus take you live for updates as Dr. Bawumia begins a tour of the Greater Accra region today. And George Jaffe is here with the latest from business. Hello, George.
Hi, Evans. And coming up in business, some oil marketing companies commence increase in prices of petroleum products at the pumps, because you could be paying as much as 14 Ghana cedis, 84 pesos per liter for diesel and petrol. And more traders channel foreign exchange transactions outside the banking system and black market due to what they describe as stringent documentation requirement through the formal system. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Syntex Tanks, and Pepsodent, Herbal, and Charcoal.
Hey, so as for you, every day you are just pressing your phone. Why? Are they paying you?
They are, Omar.
Eh?
The more I use my MTN, the more points I get. And I can use those points to get airtime, data, and even discounts at shops and restaurants.
Hey, so that is why all of you are always pressing your phones. And you won't tell us, so that way too we can enjoy some.
Oh, Omar.
There's always more to enjoy with MTN Rewards. Just keep talking, testing, and browsing all day, every day to collect your points and use it to redeem amazing offers and discounted freebies right away. There's so much available for you. So dial *550# and get your reward today. Let's go everywhere you go.
Kweku, Kweku, have you heard what they are doing on MTN?
Son, we are so proud of you for setting up this hospital. I really love those hospital beds and waiting chairs. By the way, did you import them?
No, Dad, I didn't. I actually got them from Kindle Books and Stationery right here in Ghana.
Wow. We also bought our office supplies, safes, executive desks and chairs from Kingdom, and they gave us expert advice on how to set up our office.
Guys, that makes three of us. I also got our sofa and bedroom sets, plus our dining hall furniture for our new home from Kingdom.
Wow, Mom, that makes four of us. I usually get my stationery items from Kingdom. And my teacher also mentioned that our classroom furniture was provided by Kingdom.
So there you have it. Whenever you're thinking about setting up an office or acquiring furniture for your home, etc., Kingdom Books and Stationery should be your first point of call. With over 40 years' experience in the industry, we stock and supply a wide variety of globally sourced office and home furniture, stationery, and equipment. Visit our head office, Osu Akwaje, or our office near the Osu Stadium. We're also in Tema Community 1, opposite Olam SHF, Kumase KNUSD Campus, UC DC, Cape Coast, and now at the Marina Mall, Airport City. Or call us 0302-764101, 764209, or 762792. Visit our website, www.kingdomgh.com.
Water is needed all day, all night. So,
Remember Syntex tank all day, all night. 7 years warranty. Select any color for free. In no de crack, in no de spoil. Call Accra on 0244-335-168. Kumasi 0505-555-666. Syntex tank. A strong, a tough. Water is needed all day, all night. So, remember Syntex tank all day, all night. 7 years warranty. Select any color for free. In no de crack, in no de spoil. Call Accra on 0244-335-168. Kumasi 0505-555-666. Syntex tank. A strong. A tough.
Joboy!
Yeah.
We have a new leader in town, OBRNT. I'm a fool. Me don't want to see the brain. When you say my baby, maybe mama more charcoal for whiter teeth.
More charcoal.
Not only that, maybe mama lemon.
More lemon.
Zinc for fresher breath.
More zinc.
And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Yeah. Introducing the new President Charcoal packed with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
I asked him to buy me original
polyester.
Hey, please don't make mistake. Talk to Papa.
The
polyester is original. The first and the best.
What? Who got that? Also, for dear Afrobeat, you see me.
Polyester, yes.
Hello, my name is Mami Okia, an entrepreneur and a mother of two. My work keeps me busy most of the time and sometimes it takes me away from my family. But the safety and health of my family is very important to me. As a working mother, I cannot afford to take any chances when it comes to matters of health. That is why I signed up for a family healthcare plan from Equity Health Insurance. My family and I have access to over 700 hospitals, clinics, opticians, dentists, pharmacies and diagnostic centers across the length and breadth of Ghana. With Equity Health Insurance, I no longer have to worry about medical bills. Anytime a member of my family visits a hospital, Equity Health Insurance has got my family and I covered. What about you? Who has got you covered?
Call Equity Health Insurance on 050-660-7910 and talk to them about your family health needs now. Visit equityhealthinsurance.com for more information. Equity Health Insurance, here for you.
You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, some oil marketing companies have started increasing prices of petroleum products at the pumps. Guel took the lead with some price adjustments for diesel and petrol. There is more in this report.
Market leader Goyle is selling a litre of petrol at 14 cedis 60 pesos from its old price of 14 cedis 55 pesos. Diesel is going for 14 cedis 75 pesos, up from the previous price of 14 cedis 70 pesos. Persons close to Goyle have told Joy Business that the spike is due to the 5 pesos increase in the Unified Petroleum Price Fund margin as directed by the National Petroleum Authority from June 1. They maintained that if it had not been the adjustment, prices would have been kept unchanged at the pumps. Shell is selling a litre of petrol and diesel at 14 cedis 84 pesos. Based on our engagements with other players, more oil marketing firms are expected to increase their prices at the pumps. It is not clear for now what influenced the National Petroleum Authority to direct these players to increase the Unified Petroleum Price Fund. This is because the price of crude is dropping on the world market, which would have resulted in the prices going down on the local market. Some have argued that if it had not been the city's depreciation, prices of petroleum products should have gone down at the pumps. We are also not sure how this could impact the push by the unionized transport operators for an increase in fares.
And that is a Business Desk report. Now, more traders are channeling their foreign exchange transactions outside the banking system or through the black market. Now, that's according to the president of the Ghana Union Traders Association, Dr. Joseph Obeng. The move has been influenced by what the union describes as stringent documentation that they have to pass through their staff through the banking system. Let's hear more from Dr. Joseph Obeng.
If you make a stringent documentation the requirement, then
so
people,
people
do not
using the bank.
Then people do not transact through, because for Bank of Ghana, what you need is bill of lading and then your transactional value.
Yeah,
that should be enough for you, and all transactions should come. People will not be panicked about whatever the accounting aspect or all that. They fuse the two, and this is one major cause of our problem, and that the volume of trade is now centered on
outside
the black
the
market
system.
More than the banking.
And that's where you're getting.
And that's where, so if you mention the bank rate is 14.3, nobody is even excited because you won't get, they won't transact through there. But then there is the black market people who are detecting this piece.
Joseph Obeng is president of the Ghana Union of Traders Association, that is GUTA. Now, the finance ministry says it is optimistic that measures instituted together with the Bank of Ghana will help in stabilizing the Ghana city. The deputy minister, that is the minister of state at the finance ministry, Abinasi Asare, has also maintained that government remains committed to implementing programs that would help in stabilizing the country. She was speaking at the $2.1 million grant agreement signing between the government of Ghana and the government of Japan.
Our gross international reserves reached $6.2 billion in February 2022, covering 2.7 months of import cover, and we are expected to increase it to 4.4 months of import cover in the medium term. But for recent pressures on our exchange rate movements, the cedi's depreciation halved from 52.2% in November 2022 to 27.8% in December 2023, maintaining stability into 2024. The ministry currently is working with the Bank of Ghana to implement measures to improve the strength of the cedi against its foreign trading currencies in the medium term.
Abinasi Asare is the Minister of State at the Finance Ministry. The Ghana Association of Banks is pressing on customers to support initiatives by the various commercial banks to practice sustainability to conserve the environment. The move is geared towards ensuring that all players meet the new regulations set by the Bank of Ghana for all commercial banks in the country. Chief Executive of the Ghana Association of Banks, John Iwa, gave the hint after a short ceremony by Consolidated Bank Ghana and Forestry Commission to plant 60,000 trees within 3 years as part of his Green Ghana initiative.
At the association, the little we can also do, we are also intervening, particularly in the area where we are now talking to the bank customers on how to make themselves ready. So if a bank is asking you for this documentation because they have to meet some sustainability threshold, it doesn't become like, oh, the bank is asking for my grandmother, my grandfather, but they are asking for something that is good for you and is good for us and is good for the entire country and the global world where we all live. The CEO of CBG talked about SDG 15, that is life on earth. How are we preparing to leave this earth for the next generation?
John Iwa is Chief Executive of the Ghana Association of Banks, speaking at an event under the theme Growing a Greener Tomorrow, that is GCB's, that is Consolidated Banks commitment. Let's turn our attention to the stock market. And if you're a shareholder of SS Insurance, each share that you're holding now is up by a peso at close at 25 pesos. That of GCB Bank was up by 21 pesos and is now worth 4 Ghana cedis 93 pesos. And that's all for business on Newsnight.
And John, thank you very much. I wonder, in your neighborhood, do you have dustbins around that when, of course, you want to throw out the letter, you just put it in
no,
there?
No, so it has to do with the individuals who bring it out when they... Zoom Lion Kai is coming to pick it up.
So you're walking in town in your neighborhood and you have...
There is no dustbin around. Okay. You know it.
That's a problem, is it not?
Yes, but it appears the individuals provide their own dustbins.
Sometimes you put it in your pocket. The right thing to do is, if you don't have it, try and keep it on you until you get home. Right? Sometimes it becomes very, very difficult. And that's the story, really, for the latest episode in our filth exhibition series. I want to take you to the streets of Ashaiman, where the lack of rubbish bins is forcing residents there to discard waste in the middle of the roads. Rejoice Semefa Basu's report read to you.
The streets of Ashaiman are currently engulfed in filth. Filth creating a public health hazard. This has become an eyesore for both residents and visitors. The stretch from the Ashaiman underbridge to Aferiwa has been particularly affected, with piles of rubbish packed along the middle of the road. The lack of rubbish bins in the area has made the situation worse, forcing residents and passers-by to discard their waste on the streets. This has led to a build-up of trash that includes household waste, plastic bottles, and other pieces of scattered rubbish. Even though the situation is worrying, the residents say they are tired of complaining because their complaints will do very little. Madam Agnes is a resident.
We all worried about the rubbish issue. Some residents give their rubbish to these junkies, and they in turn dispose of them behind people's homes and on the street. Whenever it rains, some people dispose of their refuse into the gutters. You can't even talk about it because you get attacked. We are pleading with government to help.
D-Trip, who is a resident and trades in menswear, expresses frustration over the persistent issue.
Myself, one time I noticed that we lack dustbins. I even complained to the municipal assembly some time ago that the reason why the dust are always on the streets, or let's say the rubbish are always on the streets, is the result of no dustbins. You understand? Even if you look around from here to Presley Junction, there's no dustbin. From here to Ashasek, or let's say runabout, there are no dustbins. The junkies that they carrying the trash to. Whenever they carry the trash, they will take the money. They'll come to the streets to take the money, or come to your various places or your houses to take the money. And when they take the trash, they will not take it to the right place that they have to dump it. So when they get to the traffic here, they notice that here there is a no man's land. So they will just leave it and they will run away. You know, junkie, you cannot go and attack a junkie. You see, yes, this, all this is because of we don't have proper waste management.
Pounds has, however, attributed the situation to a shirking of responsibility from the leadership.
You know, this is our country, it's our motherland. So we are supposed to keep our country tidy. Understand? When you go to other countries, you will see the way like our country is. You know, you see the trash on the floor anyhow. You drink water and put it on ground. Why? It's because we don't have dustbins. Eh? And this is due to lack of leadership. They should make sure that like they will distribute the dustbins to many, many places so that people can get the dustbin to put their trash. Because if there's no dustbin around, everybody can put rubber on the ground, do anything, anyhow, anyway.
Residents are calling on authorities to at least provide rubbish bins to help curb the worrying trend. Rejoice Semefa Bisu's report for Joy News.
And you're live on Newsnight here on Joy 99.7 FM. This is your election headquarters.
And this is your election headquarters. It is brought to you by Petrosol Clean Fuel in full quantity. CIMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, AICPA, and CIMA together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, the German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental Wellness and Beauty, Chopbox Technologies, a convenient service, Youth Bridge Foundation, Bridging Gaps for Positive Youth Development. And tonight we join a trail now with the Vice President on his campaign of the Greater Accra region and the flag bearer of the NPP. Dr. Bamia has broken a silence on the controversial National Cathedral project. As you know, millions of dollars have been spent on this particular project without significant progress. And it came up strongly when he met the clergy today as part of his tour of the Greater Accra region. But in response, the MPP flag bearer said that there is a need for that particular cathedral and government would sit down and figure out a way to make sure that the project is complete.
The question on the National Cathedral is a very important one. The National Cathedral, I have contributed to its construction personally. I believe it's a very important thing for Ghana. But I think that as it stands now, the church has to come together and government and let us sit down and talk about the way forward for the National Cathedral. The church should come together and let us know the best way forward, how we can even get private resources to help us to complete the cathedral. But I think it is possible. We should not say it is not possible. Let us all sit back together and figure out the way forward on how to complete this cathedral. I think if we all come together, we'll figure it out. I really believe so. So I want us to come together and sit down and see the best way forward to generate the resources to complete, because we can't leave it where it is.
Well, also speaking on the campaign trail today is Dan Boche. He is the MPP flag bearer's campaign chairman.
You are slow at times to become confused. Resourcefully, men and women of God, we are not here to plead that, oh, go and tell your people to vote for NPP or vote for Bamia. No. We are saying that, even though we will not reject that, we are saying that in all these things, in all the confusion of modern world, the crowd, the noisy people who use all sorts of trickery, it takes the counsel of men and women of God so that they can understand the issues. Because you know it better. The crowd, they are not always right. Those who push well, those who are able to do propaganda, they are not always right. When Pilate had to make a decision between our Lord, who had no sin, who had committed no crime, and Barabbas, what did the people say? They wanted one, the armed robber, to be freed. That was the choice of the people. If they had voted, they would have voted, in actual fact, they voted for Barabbas rather to be freed. And that was the voice, the vote of the crowd, the majority of the people. So in all reverence, we know that the majority may not always. And in such more dangerous times, with technology and all that, we need the counsel of the men and women of God.
And so that there is the sermon according to Dan Boche. I want to bring in Apostle Emmanuel Neo Kule Tete. He's the new General Secretary of the Ghana Pentecostal and Charismatic Council. Joins us on the line right now. Thank you very much, Apostle, for your time here on Newsnight. So you asked the questions today about the National Cathedral. You got an answer from the Vice President, who is also the flag bearer of the MPP. He says it is still possible. Your reaction?
Well, good evening, Evans, and good evening to your listeners. I think the issue about the National Cathedral needs to be approached very cautiously. I mean, nobody disputes the value and the need for such a national, you know, property or facility. So, in principle, I don't think anybody would be against the National Cathedral. Issue has to do with the socioeconomic circumstances in which we find ourselves and the situation people are living in, you know, and how the process is managed. I think that is, those are the essential things one will want to look at. And by the way, let me say that this communication from the flag bearer of the NPP just came out today. So as a council, I mean, GPCC, Ghana Pentecostal and Charismatic Council, has not sat to, if you like, discuss it and come up with one view. So this is what we will be looking at.
So you'll be considering forward. You'll be considering a bit more what you heard from the vice president today?
Yeah.
Okay, but when you listen to him yourself, did he provide answers to the questions you asked in the way that was satisfactory?
I wouldn't say satisfactory. I mean, he ended by saying it is possible, which is very true. I mean, possibilities are always there. The issue will be as to whether the way it is packaged, how the process is unfolded, and the content. I think those are the key things. But as for possible, yes, I will agree that it is possible. My council will agree it is possible. It will be left with the details, as it is usually said. You know, the devil is usually in the details. So when we get there, then we'll pay attention to how the whole system is structured and organized. Then we know how to proceed with it.
Thank you very much. That there is Apostle Emmanuel Niokule Tete. He is the new General Secretary of the Ghana Pentecostal and Charismatic Council. Joining me right now is a man who I'm pretty sure at one point in time wanted to be a man of God, Ms. Bao. No.
Well, even let me just bring you the latest from Ghana, the Ghana Division One, because two teams have already qualified for the Ghana Premier League. Vision FC and Vision FC already qualified then, and Holy Stars also qualified. But today, Zone One of Division One, there was a playoff between Young Apostles, Yanni Bay's Young Apostles, and Techiman Bay's Techiman Stars there, and the after 90 minutes, they were still 1-1 and had to go to penalties, which saw Young Apostles defeating Techiman 11 Heroes there, Techiman Heroes there, to secure that remaining slot for qualification to the Ghana Premier League. Lawrence Bedu was on grounds at the Grass Sports Stadium, and he monitored it all.
Apostles, we secured the last slot for Ghana Premier League promotion after beating Techiman Heroes on penalties. The game ended 1-1 after 120 minutes, and Young Apostles, despite missing two of their penalties, recovered in time to score the winning penalty and then secure the last slot from the Division One and will now be playing in the Ghana Premier League.
Thank you very much, Balder. And that's it for news tonight. Tonight, up next is the Geek Squad, and Peps is here to tell you what to look forward to. Hello, Peps.
Hi, Evans.
What are we looking forward to tonight?
We are having a conversation on someone who has tested Starlink in Ghana. The feedback, the speed test. We just want to know the cost involved and those who are interested in changing their internet service providers.
Oh, so now you can actually access Starlink in Ghana?
Yes.
Oh, you can. Okay, that's an interesting... Wherever you are, I guess. It's not limited by location, because where I live, I struggle with the existing service providers. Yeah.